Hello, hey, good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a good day so far. Hold on, let me change something here. Okay, sorry, let's change background. I like the natural look much better. All right, let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 15. We're going to read this very short psalm, but quite impactful, and actually pretty close to a little bit of what we've been talking about the last few Sundays. So Psalm 15, let's read this. O Lord, who may abide in thy tent, and who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. Amen. So this particular psalm is really David is really meditating on the character of man who may stay or who may be received or be in the presence of God. There is really no occasion that is quite explicit here, but most likely this is probably talking about when the Ark of the Covenant is brought into Jerusalem in 2 Samuel 6. And you'll find that Psalm 15 is very similar to Psalm 24. And Psalm 24 is actually the psalm when the Ark of the Covenant is coming. And so David is probably meditating on that event, and he's concerned with the questions that he's asking and answering through this psalm. Okay, so let's break it down. Really simple, but quite powerful. He says, O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? In one sense, David's question here is figurative, because he can't live in this tent because he was not a priest. So the word translated here, abide, can be better thought of as the word sojourn. It describes a visit, and it's using the culture of the time. It's like in like Bedouin culture today and during these times, it's receiving the hospitality of a tent-dwelling host. And so this is in light of the customs of the ancient Near East, the custom of hospitality. In this ancient Near East hospitality, a guest is sheltered from all harm. The person gets all of his needs met during this time, and so in that way, a guest of God is safe. They can claim asylum from every foe and share the provision of the host. So obviously, it's a pretty good idea to abide in the tent. The tent obviously is really talking about, and other translations say tabernacle, is really talking about the great tent of meeting that God told Moses and Israel to build during the Exodus. This tent, tabernacle, actually survived through many centuries. And in David's time, it would have been at Gibeon. This is 1 Chronicles 16, 39 and 40. And so since the tent was a place where man met with God through the work of the priests and the practice of sacrifice and all these things, David's longing to abide in the tent was really about a desire to abide in the presence of God. And so the tent is in Gibeon, and so he's not really talking about that physical tent. He's really talking about the presence of the Lord. And so how can I abide in the presence of the Lord? How can I stand in that place? How can I be close to the Lord in that way? And David has in his mind really this life that lives in the presence of God. you know, who walks in close fellowship with God, because his heart, his mind, his very being are all in step with the heart and mind of God. And this is a really important question that I think we should all ask. How can I get closer to God? And I remember years ago in my early Christian journey, I don't know where I heard it from, but it was just this simple idea that I remember a leader just saying to me and a whole group, he says, you can get as close to God as you want to. In other words, God doesn't necessarily limit that. We limit that in many different ways. And I've always hung close to that. And so we need to, you know, go before the Lord. Well, how close to God do we want to be? I mean, how close to God do you want to be? Do I want to be? How, you know, as we start 2021, are we going to abide in the presence of the Lord? And he says, he continues on, he says, and who may dwell on thy holy hill? Again, this is simply David using the Hebrew technique of repetition. And so he basically asks the same question in a little different way. Now, the word dwell here is a little different than abide. This has more of a permanent sense. And so David, if you can think about it, maybe it would be written something like this, like, who may be received as a guest into God's tent, enjoying all the protections of his hospitality? And then he asks, and who may live as a citizen in his holy hill? So it's a little different. So he basically answers the question. He says, he who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. So this is who can enjoy the hospitality of the Lord, who can abide and who can dwell on this mountain. And in describing the character of a man, David begins with basically two descriptions, okay? This is what you need. You need to walk with integrity, and you need to work righteousness. Now, I mentioned early on that this really goes in line with a lot of this, what we're talking about these days, in the sense of like justification and sanctification. Now, you got to understand, in this psalm, obviously, this is Old Testament. And so David is speaking from an old covenant perspective. So let me just break this down for us a little bit. Through the old covenant, it gave an important place for sacrifice and atonement through the blood. It also based blessing and cursing on the integral issue of obedience. You can see this in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 24. The disobedient could not expect blessing, including the blessing of God's presence. Now, that's the old covenant. The new covenant gives us a different ground for blessing and relationship with God. Now, it's not our obedience. In other words, it's not our performance, but it's the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. In other words, under the new covenant, faith rather than performance is the basis for blessing. Right, I'll say it again. Under the new covenant, faith rather than performance is the basis for blessing. Now, in that same way, though, we don't just disregard David's words altogether, because we can now look at it through the lens of the new covenant. And so in the lens of the new covenant, we could see some validity to what David is saying. But this is the key. The conduct of one's life is a reflection of his fellowship with God. It's not the condition for it. It's a reflection. It's a response. In the same way in John, in 1 John 1:6, he says, if we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And so if you connect these things together, we might say this, that under the old covenant, a righteous walk was a precondition for fellowship with God, okay? So under the old covenant, a righteous walk, in other words, the works of righteousness, performance, these things, these were important, but this was a precondition. You need to do this in order to have fellowship with God. Under the new covenant, a righteous walk is not a precondition, but it's a result. It's what happens afterwards. It's a result of fellowship with God based on faith. And so we see kind of the differences here. And so it doesn't nullify what David is saying, but we can put our new covenant lens on and we can see this. In other words, obedience was a precondition in order to be in the presence of God and to receive the blessing of God and to have fellowship with God. In the new covenant, it's obedience, righteousness, all those things are a byproduct. They're a result. Like we say, I don't have to, but I get to. It's an overflow of these things. And so this is what he does. He walks with integrity, works righteousness. He speaks with truth in his heart. And so we have the different aspects here. I'll break it down to you. What we do with our lives, how we live, how we conduct ourselves, our character, our integrity, all these things. This is the first part. And then also, it's what we do with our tongues. It's our speech, right? The upright and righteous life is known by the way someone speaks. Isn't that what Jesus says in Matthew 12, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so that's what's deep inside of us. He also does not do evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. So your integrity, your conduct, it's your tongue, it's your mouth, but it's also the way the righteousness is reflected on how you treat people. Love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We see that these things are coming together. It's not just you being righteous, but it's also treating others righteously. It's righteousness is expressed in the way that we treat one another. I think that's so important. And it really is the summing up of the whole gospel in this way. And so, let's just continue on. And in four, so those are the good things. In four, what happens? In whose eyes a reprobate is despised. And David knew, listen, you cannot love God unless you oppose evil. It doesn't work that way. You cannot love God and love the world and love evil in this way. Remember, the fear of the Lord is Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Yet this righteous man also honors those who fear the Lord. He makes his judgments about men on a godly basis, not based on favoritism, not based on genealogy or family line or any of these things or corruption, but he honors those who fear the Lord. Give honor where honor is due in that way. And so you cannot be righteous without hating evil. So in whose eyes, a reprobate is despised, but he honors, but he who honors those who fear the Lord. This is an interesting phrase. Next one. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. The idea behind this is that a man keeps his promises, right, even when it's no longer to his advantage to do so. This is a person who keeps his promises. He swears to his own hurt. It may damage him, but it doesn't matter. He does not change. And this is an honorable man. He keeps his promises when it hurts him even, or when it's not to his advantage to do so. This is what we simply say is he is a man of his word. Regardless of it's detrimental to him, he's going to keep his word. We all want that. That's what we call character. That's what integrity is. And then he says, and he does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. And so it's not only your conduct, it's not only the way you speak your mouth. It's not only the way you treat other people. It's not only the way that you view evil. It's not only the way that you keep your word, even though it may be harmful to you. Now he's dealing with the issue of money, right? David describes a man who wants to live a righteous life, especially in the area of his money. You know, it's interesting. Many people would be considered godly in many other areas of their life, but still not use their money in a godly way that shows really love and care and concern for others. Now, don't misunderstand this verse. It's not evil to loan money for with interest. I mean, simple interest, obviously. But I think what the idea here is it's not so much that interest is taken from people, but it's really the verse is really concerning with greed and justice. And maybe a great Old Testament example is really Nehemiah chapter 5, where the wealthy were taking advantage of the poor among the exiles, when really they should have all been helping each other in that way. And so this is more of a justice issue. There's nothing wrong with loaning money to somebody and then earning some interest. That's not the point here. The point here is that you take advantage of the poor. And you see that. He says, he does not put out his money at interest, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. And so we see that these things kind of goes hand in hand in this way. And he just simply says, and he who does these things will never be shaken. Now, again, David has in mind the basic performance-based system of the old covenant. And the one who's pleased God with this kind of performance can expect blessing from God. And remember, New Covenant, we already received this blessing from the Lord, but these works of righteousness are a byproduct. It's an overflow of our faith and our belief. And he says that we will never be shaken. In the Old Covenant system, this stability of life is a blessing from God given to the obedient. Under the New Covenant, the promise of stability and security is given to those who abide in faith, and such faith being evident through a life lived in general obedience. You got to understand the difference. I'll just say that again, just to make sure. In the Old Covenant system, this stability, you will never be shaken. This stability of life is a blessing from God given to the obedient. In the New Covenant, the promise of stability and security is given to those who abide in faith in Jesus. And such faith is evident through a life lived in general obedience. It's an overflow of that. Wonderful, beautiful. Love this passage. So let's take a moment and let's close our eyes before we come into a time of worship. And let's reflect on that. I mean, let's thank the Lord. It's our behavior matters, but not to get into the presence of the Lord. Our behavior is an overflow of our faith. It's not a precondition of our faith. This is just the favor of God, and just the joy of that, of him sending his son to pay the ultimate sacrifice so that we don't have to. And we can enjoy the benefits of what Christ has done for us. And the best thank you in that is to live a righteous life. And so let's pray this morning. Let's meditate as David did, and let's go before the Lord and let's ask God, how can I get closer to you? How can I? It's already made possible through Jesus, through what he's done. But Lord, how can I get closer to you, Lord?
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, be pleasing to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Be pleasing to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my God. You're my God and my Redeemer. You're the reason that I sing. I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. And every hour, every moment, Lord, I want to be your servant. I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. You're my God. And you're my rock and my redeemer. You're the reason that I sing. I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. And every hour, every moment, Lord, I want to be your servant. I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. May the word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Be pleasing to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my God. You're my rock and my redeemer. You're the reason that I sing. I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. And every hour, every moment, Lord, I want to be your servant. I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. You're my rock and my redeemer. You're the reason that I sing. I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. And every hour, every moment, Lord, I want to be your servant. I desire to be a blessing in your eyes. In your eyes.
Our obedience and our righteousness, our integrity is a result. It's a thing that we get to do, not that we have to do, because of what Christ has done for us. And so let's endeavor to live righteously, to be obedient. It's the best thank you for what God has done for us. And so let's think about these areas of our lives. Our own integrity. Are we a man or woman of our word? How do we handle money? Are we a blessing to the poor around us? How do we handle our tongue? How do we deal with other people? Are we fair? Are we equitable? Or do we show favoritism? Let the Holy Spirit, just begin to move over our hearts, over some of these issues. And let's ask God to change us. Not to earn his favor. We have already earned it. But that we could really be more of a reflection of Christ. Let's pray. Let's go to our communion prayers. Let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. One good news is Henry's mom has been released from the hospital. She's home now, so praise God. And the dad still needs to recover a bit, but he's getting better as well. Let's just continue to pray for our community. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Well, let's lift up our city state. Let's pray for our government. Let's ask the righteous rule would happen. Let's pray against the wealth gap in our city. Let's pray for revival. Let's pray for churches all over. Let's pray for our friends ministering, sports services, Shanty, YWAM, Sons and Daughters, Stand Asia, Mother's Choice, the Korean Church. Let's pray for students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up our city. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask God's hand to be with us. Let's pray for unity. Let's pray for a real desire to see people grow. And the Lord really minister to us as well, that we be flowing out of our love for God. Let's lift up. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries, our welcoming and barista, even though we're not really actively involved right now, some of the welcoming aspects are. But let's just pray that teams are being built up and we'll be ready to roll when the restrictions come down. Let's pray. Let's pray for our worship, sound, and AV teams. And let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and really use our worship leaders, our sound people, our AV people to really lead us into the presence of the Lord. Let's pray for House Church tonight, First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, House to House, Kowloon, Old Peak Road, and Princeton. Let's pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit to empower us. Let's pray for his guidance and his love. will really flow from members either in person or in Zoom, and that the leaders and hosts would just really flow out of their gifts to one another. Let's lift up. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that the cross of Christ, Lord, has made the way for us to dwell in the presence of the Lord now and forever. And while we're here on earth, God, we get to express our gratitude, our love for you, God, by loving others, by controlling our tongues, by living upright lives, Lord, by sharing the wealth that you give to us, Lord, by treating others well, Lord God. And so we just thank you so much, Lord. We just pray, God, that we would be overflowing in so many thanksgivings to you, Lord God, by the way we live our life, Lord. We thank you. We love you. Watch over us today. Give us strength, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Wow, awesome. Hey, have a wonderful, wonderful morning. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow morning. God bless you guys. Bye.